And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. The first weeks of a romance are bliss, holding hands, sharing stories, dancing in the dark. It's all a blur until the fateful moment you happen to notice the paperback on the bedside table is a copy of The Da Vinci Code. In yesterday's Sunday New York Times, Rachel Donadio exposed the dirty little secret of literary deal breakers. When your love for War and Peace becomes Love Me, Love My Tolstoy, or when your paramour's love for the bridges of Madison County raises red flags. So this weekend, you're on the opinion page. What books are the most important for any suitor of yours to have read and adored? Tell us your literary deal breaker, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Rachel Donadio is a writer and editor at the New York Times Book Review and joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in the old days, you probably have to get through at least the salad course before favorite books came up on a first date. And these days, I guess everybody has a list on their MySpace page.
That's true. It seems like now in the era of internet dating and internet networking sites like MySpace and Facebook, people kind of come right up front and say, these are my favorites. And so it's kind of a way of gauging people a little earlier on in the relationship, as you say.
It's a filter, and for some people, a very important filter.
I think that's true. I was really surprised. And when my essay appeared in the Times yesterday, I kind of thought, oh, maybe this is just an issue faced by kind of overeducated, easily dismissive New York women. But it seems that it's really kind of a lot of Americans find that literary taste is really important to them and how they think of themselves and how they assess other people.
Well, give us an example of one of the people you spoke with.
Well, I spoke with Laura Miller, who is a literary critic at Salon, and she raised one of the kind of common deal breaker, which is Ayn Rand. I think that some people just find that Randian, either you're a Randian or you're not a Randian, and if you are, you might not necessarily get along with someone who isn't.
It might indicate not just literary tastes might be different, but in fact your worldview might be different.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that to a point, this is an issue. It is a way of kind of gauging people. But, you know, to another point, I'm sure there are many successful marriages between people who like the kind of crazy militant capitalism of Ayn Rand's books and people who might not.
And is this a concern addressed mostly by women?
Well, I thought it was, but then I got a lot of comments to the article saying, no, it's very important to me. And I talked to a lot of men who said, you know, I can't go out with women who don't read books. We have nothing to talk about. But, you know, and someone actually accused me of being sexist for suggesting that only women are concerned about a man's taste in books. I don't know. I guess it's a kind of a universal thing.
Well, you did quote people in your article saying, you know, if they read anything at all, that's fine, much less that they read Proust.
That's right. That's right.
And as you go through this, you know, how do you breach these things and indicate how important they are?
How important books are.
And, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're having a conversation with someone and I don't know, if you're having a conversation with someone and you think everything is going fine and, you know, maybe this might work out. And then he says, my favorite book is The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Then you kind of think, I don't know.
Maybe so we're not going to be going to too many poetry readings.
Yeah. A lot of the responses I got online, people listed all kinds of deal breakers. And some, you know, I interviewed one woman, Jessa Crispin, who runs a very funny blog called bookslut.com, where she does interviews with writers. And she said, well, actually, a lot of the men in her life don't really read, frankly. But they come to think of it, if she did go to a guy's house and saw that he had some books on his shelf about life's lessons learned from dogs, she might, as she put it, keep her clothes on.
Let's see if we can get some listeners in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Our guest is Rachel Donadio, who's a writer and editor at the New York Times Book Review, and wrote an essay published this past weekend called It's Not You, It's Your Books in the New York Times. Let's get Amanda on the line. Amanda with us from Ada. Is that in Michigan?
Ada, Michigan, yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Hi. It's in fact, my husband and I just had this conversation because I made him hide these books when I had a book group over. It's Stephen King. Not that I don't like him, but it's a quick fix. And I was embarrassed enough that I'm like, take him off the bookshelf.
Take him off the bookshelf. What book is your book circle currently reading?
Although this kind of sounds kind of, I don't know, of a quick fix here. We just finished reading The Other Bolin Girl by Philippa Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Which we really enjoyed. I don't know, but we tend to, I don't know, we do a lot of the classics in that too, and I just, I don't know.
I saw all kinds of echoes in that of The Shining.
That's true, yeah, exactly. I love Stephen King, I do. It's just, My husband doesn't have a lot of time to read. I have more, a little bit more time to read, and he's just like, it's always guaranteed a good read. So he's like, why take a risk? So,
Rachel, is Stephen King another page turners, let's put it that way, are they a turnoff, do you think?
For some people, I think they are, but because it kind of indicates, well, maybe this person has more middle-brow taste. But on the other hand, I mean, some people say any reading is better than no reading, and a lot of people don't read at all. I mean, obviously, this woman in Michigan, you know, you are still married, and I'm sure that Stephen King isn't gonna prevent that. I mean, it's just kind of it's almost like home, that books as home decorating, like, oh, I don't want to, you know, you don't want to. You know, you take them off the bookshelf, but you're still married to the guy.
Exactly, because he's a great guy.
And Amanda, let me just turn the story around. Have you ever, after the book club is finished with the book, turned to your husband and said, oh, you have really got to read this?
Yes, I did. It was The Kite Runner, because he had an interest in those kind of, he was just saying he wanted to read a book on that, and I read it first wondering if he would like, and I said The Kite Runner, and he did. He enjoyed it.
Well,
but again, he wants a guaranteed good read because his time is little for reading. So.
And yours, of course, is just oceans of time ready to be wasted.
No, exactly. But I'll neglect a few things for a good book. So.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And here's an email from Jan in Berkeley, California. When I was younger and had deals to break, the deal breaker for me was Atlas Shrugged, getting back to your Ayn Rand comparison. Case closed, out the door. Now I'm fine if they have any books at all. So,
yeah, that does raise an issue. You know, it's interesting, Amanda, who has a book club, I think a lot of women in America are in book clubs, and I think fewer men are. And I think that, you know, some women find that it's just great to talk about books in their book club. I quote someone in my article, Ariel Levy, who's now a writer at The New Yorker, saying, like, books, taste in books is irrelevant. If I want to talk about books, I go to my book club. I don't need my partner to share absolutely all my tastes. But I do think it creates an interesting gender divide, because there have been studies that show that women do most of the reading in America, or they buy a lot of the books and they do a lot of reading, especially fiction. And if, I guess, they don't talk about those books often with their partners. Obviously, this, you know, it's very hard to do a scientific study of this. But anecdotally, I think that's the case.
Let's talk with Sharon. Sharon with us from Wayne, Pennsylvania.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that a favorite book of mine and a must-read for any relationship in my life would be To Kill a Mockingbird.
And I think yours is, I think, the fifth call we've had on exactly that subject. So.
Oh, okay. I was just tuning in, so I didn't realize. Okay, well, thank you.
No. You were the first to get on the air, but nevertheless,
okay.
Your opinion is shared by an awful lot of people. Thanks very much for the call, Sharon. And let's go now to this is an email from Kitty in Rochester, New York. On my first date with the man I eventually married, I found out he had read and actually enjoyed one of my favorite books, Jane Eyre. I think if he'd asked me right then, I might have said yes at that moment, which also suggests that if you can make that literary connection, or at least convincingly fake it, you might be in.
Interesting. No, that's interesting. You know, I was thinking also about the idea of To Kill a Mockingbird. I think I read that book in high school, and I think a lot of people read it in high school, which suggests to me that, you know, please, let's assign good books in high school, because sometimes these are the only books that people will have read. I mean, if they're not going to go on to be readers, they should be reading kind of quality stuff back then.
And your prospective spouse may not have the same feelings about, I don't know, Johnny Tremaine.
Exactly. Or The Old Man and the Sea, which I really didn't like. I did not ever like that book.
It mentioned DiMaggio. As long as it mentions DiMaggio, it's got something good in it.
That, I don't know. That may be for you. Yeah.
Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan with us from Long Island in New York.
Hello. As far as deal breakers go, I'm a married man, so I'm no longer really in the deal-making business, so to speak. But if I had seen The Secret on my wife's nightstand before we got married, I think I would have had serious misgivings.
The Secret, not just that, but, self-help books as a genre, would you say, Jonathan?
Well, no, self-help I think is great, but, you know, that sort of pseudo-mystical, soft-headed kind of stuff, I think I would have had a problem with that.
I had thought twice about that.
Did
you encounter any of that, Rachel?
Did I encounter any people who didn't like self-help books? Not specifically, but I do think that that is kind of a big deal. It is a way of gauging, like, what does this person want out of life and what kinds of books do they turn to for, I don't know, ideas or inspiration. And I really, that's a case, I think, of a book that says a lot about
yeah,
someone.
I think that's a self-help book so much, almost as a religious book.
Yeah.
And there you start treading on some dangerous ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost about, yeah, it's really, it's, I think that's one of those books that kind of, I mean, you know, John Grisham, whatever, but a book like The Secret, I think, might say right. deeper things about someone.
Jonathan, the deep secret that you're getting from The Secret is you can tell something about a book by its cover.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And by its reader, perhaps.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks very much, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Rachel Donadio on the Talk of the Nation opinion page this week. She's a writer and editor at the New York Times Book Review. Her essay, It's Not You, It's Your Books, appeared in the New York Times this past weekend. If you'd like to get a look at it, there's a link to it on our website, npr.org/blogofthenation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. Now let's go to Kyla. Kyla's with us from Canton in Connecticut.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash is an essential book. If anyone that I've met, you know, friend, family, anybody, if they haven't read it, I want them to.
And you want them to. But if they haven't, or if they say science fiction, teh,
mm-hmm.
is that a deal breaker?
I would say yes. The guy I'm with now, I've been with forever, and I don't plan on not being with him anytime soon. But if, you know, that were to happen, if I were to meet someone new, they would have to read this. He actually gave that book to me, and it just has everything in it.
Is this trying to explain why he still delivers pizzas for a living?
Say what? Well, yeah, it's just, it's an incredible book. If anyone hasn't read it, I recommend it 100%.
I recommend it, too. Anyway, thanks for the call, Kyla. But Rachel, this raises the specter of what do you do about genre fiction, science fiction, mystery stories, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I guess that some people just, I know a lot of actually serious intellectual people who sometimes just love, you know, spy thrillers and have read all of them. Romance novels, I mean, the fact is they're always on the bestseller list. They're read by millions and millions of people. And I think that, yeah, maybe it does kind of cause a divide. Can a romance book reader actually, you know, fall for a Dostoevskian? I don't know. It's tough. But what the last caller also raises an interesting issue about is publishers are desperate to sell books and try to get books in people's hands. And they talk a lot about word of mouth as a way of selling books. And what the caller kind of reminded me that really is how a lot of books are sold in this country, is someone saying to their friends, you know, God, you have to read this book.
You must read this book. Let's see if we can talk with Jeff. Jeff with us from Boston.
Hi there. I want to talk about the other side of the coin. My wife turned me on to literary art, as in East of Eden, James Joyce. And I got to say that I had read junk up to that point. It was comic books, Stephen King, Sports Illustrated for me. And once I realized what was out there, that was a deal closer. And not long after that, we were married.
That's very interesting. Have you run across this, Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, I think that some people, I guess it just shows that people who are willing to learn new things, and I mean, if you're open to literature, then you need to be led to it, because a lot of people just don't find very good books on their own. I mean, if you look in bookstores and if you look on what's most popular in the culture, that's not necessarily what's the most serious, deeply satisfying book. So it's great that you met someone who introduced you.
Yeah, and it also gave me some insight into that she enjoys the nitty gritty. You know what I mean? In some places it's not a very nice book to read. And I realized that there, you know, she enjoys that like I do. So it really kind of brought us together. So I just thought I needed to offer the other side of that opinion.
And Jeff, clearly you weren't reading very good comic books. Otherwise you would have persuaded her that the Sandman was the greatest thing ever written. Anyway,
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Jeff. This is an email that we have from Patty in Morehead City, North Carolina. I'd been dating a guy for a while, and we were on a long weekend backpacking trip. We'd each brought just one book that the other suggested that we read. He wanted me to read The Hobbit. I wanted him to read Kerry Holmes' The Bone People. It turned out to be a rainy weekend, and early in the evening of the first day, we each realized we could not get into the book we'd brought, so we switched and spent the rest of the trip happily rereading our own favorite book. Perhaps I should have taken that as a sign. We're no longer going together.
Well, as some of the people pointed out in my essay, if it's really all about reading habits, then probably there are some other issues there. I talked to Nora Ephron, the inimitable, who said that 25 years after breaking up with a guy, he said that, you know, she'd never laughed out loud at Candy by Terry Southern. And Nora, in her inimitable way, said, you know, that was really not why we broke up, I promise you.
Let's talk with Zach. Zach with us from Iowa City.
Hi, a few callers and emails have already made some of my points, but I wanted to talk about also a deal closer, a deal maker. When my wife and I were courting a few years ago, we had kind of a short courtship, but when I started to realize that maybe we were going to spend our lives together, we were having a conversation about books that we'd read as a kid, and she described a book. She couldn't remember the title of it. It was actually My Side of the Mountain by Jean Craighead George, a children's book where a kid runs off to the woods and lives by his own wits. And the main character in the book is a boy, and she described a story in which there was a young girl who did the same exact things, and I thought, you know, that really sounds like My Side of the Mountain, but it couldn't be because
it's about a girl.
Story, it's a girl. And we established that was indeed My Side of the Mountain, and she had just remembered it as a girl because she was a girl.
And what happened to the relationship?
Well, we're married now. So we got married very soon after that. But after that conversation, I realized, well, that helped me to realize that we were compatible. It was a very fun moment. And when I, you know, when we realized that it was both of our favorite books as a kid, it was kind of exciting.
I also let you get away with giving her a library card for an anniversary present.
What's that?
Give her a library card for an anniversary present.
Oh, we've got that all taken care of.
All right, Zach.
So rereading My Side of the Mountain might be a fun thing to do.
Zach, thanks very much.
Yes.
And finally, two emails. We have this from Frank. If a woman has read A Confederacy of Dunces and doesn't think it's one of the funniest books she's read, if not the funniest, she can keep on walking. Every boyfriend I have, writes Debbie from Park Ridge, Illinois, must have read Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole. If he doesn't get that book, then he won't get me. Forget it. Rachel, we've got to get these kids together.
I know. It's like a book matchmaking service you're running here, Neil.
Rachel Donadio, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Rachel Donadio, a writer and editor at the New York Times Book Review. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.